This is
BBC.
BBC Radio.
Six music. Right now.
Tomorrow.
John Dwyer recently admitted that Can are probably his favourite band, so I thought that might make a happy marriage, and I think it did. First up, Can with Outside My Door from the debut album Monster Movie from 1969, influenced by their own admission by the Velvet Underground, and to nuzzle up to it, OCs with Wing Run. It is Wednesday night, the weather at this point in time is rotten, and I am sat in my bedroom with lots of clobber wired up around me, with just some music to cheer me up, actually. So, do you know what? I remain optimistic that it will. Optimism costs nothing. Mark Riley here until 9 o'clock, at which point, I'm presuming, all being well, Giddy & Co will be along to spread the love. And also thanks, as ever, to who preceded us throughout the day, and to Team Riley, which is Michelle and Peter, Owen, John, Chris and Ben. More of Ben later, possibly. And yes, thanks to you for listening, without whom, and all of that. As usual, I will invite you to contact me with any thoughts, compliments, complaints, anything that you may have. mark.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, Mark with a C, or you can text me on 64046, armed with the knowledge that anything that you send will actually take just about a week to surface on air. But never mind, who's been on here? This would be Catherine from Sheffield who's been on. And Catherine starts, Dear Mark, at the end of the nightly reruns of the Parallel Universe, it has prompted me to thank you and Bob for such great entertainment and to tell you about it becoming the basis of a nightly game to unite a couple of music lovers across Sheffield. We love your show and listen pretty much every night. During lockdown, it's been an early evening saviour. So, our game, Monday to Thursday evenings, we would each have to guess the PU year, and the winner, closest to the actual year, will get 2 points. We started on the 8th of June and caught 54 shows to the end. Great work. Unbelievably, we ended on a draw, 27 shows each, despite one of us getting off to a roaring start. It was tense cat and mouse stuff, not least because we had an extra rule, meaning that in the event of a correct guess, a direct hit like in Battleships, 10 points instead of 2 points would be awarded. David got 3 of these, one of them immediately after my only successful direct hit, dashing my hopes of catching up and overhauling him. That means I have to buy him a prize for his 84-64 win. Any suggestions? Oh, I mean, no, I haven't got any suggestions whatsoever. You know him better than I do. But she continues, being a saddo, I kept a spreadsheet of the years, winners and points, and I've such done a little analysis. You might be interested to know that across the 54 shows we caught during this crazy time, the 70s was the most popular, with 25 parallel universes. Disappointingly, only 5 from the 90s, my preferred music decade. We would love to know, Mark, was there any method or rationale in choosing each night's PUs, or was it just random? All right then, so I can tell you then, Catherine from Sheffield. Basically, it's a job that's been looked after by the previously mentioned Ben Spohr, for it is his job to trawl the archive and dig out various episodes of the Parallel Universe. But I have to say, I mean, I don't know what is Ben's preferred kind of era, but the bottom line is that we have been doing this for 15 years. So when we started, the 90s did seem a little bit too recent. It might sound crazy that, and obviously the passage of time has altered that slightly, but also, I would say personally, and I think Bob would agree, 70s journalists in particular seem to be more prone to stupid behaviour and stupid sentiments. So it was just a bit more kind of engaging and probably more for Rob to go at. So that is the short and long of it, Catherine from Sheffield, but I'm glad that you're loving it anyway. And 90s will crop up, but probably not as much as 70s and then 80s and then 90s. That's probably the running order that we have. Anyway, let's move on now then. This is a William Loveday intention, which is wildly childish and his mates.
They just don't know. told. She rang me up and she's quite polite. And I'm polite too, so we got all right. She asked if she could use my poetry. I said, help yourself, girl. It's all for free. It's all for free. It's all for free. Here's a song for that strange boy Beck.
If you like the William Loveday intention, you won't be left wanting, because there are four albums due out over the next few months, and yeah, we'll be playing loads from them all, I would imagine. Mark Riley till 9 o'clock, hello there. And what have we got for you on the programme tonight? Yes, we've got a live session from the archive from a band called Sorry Kisses. If you've been listening to this programme for a while, you will have heard Sorry Kisses. I think they did two sessions for us, actually. So it's Hayley Hutchinson and Sam Forrest. Sam, also of the band Nine Black Alps, who, if I remember rightly, had the terrible burden put upon them by the NME as being hailed as a new Nirvana. I mean, how would you get over that? Well, in short, they didn't. Though they were a great band. We had them in session as well back in the day. But as we were talking on air, a backstory did develop, particularly concerning Hayley. And we'll get to that in a short while. But yeah, there'll be at least two tunes from them tonight. Probably will just actually be two, because we are playing Rush Home Roulette between 8 o'clock now and 8:25. Okay, so it's the extended version. Last night, we did two once again. And they were Lamb Chop, If Not, I'll Die, and Howling Wolf, I'm Leaving You. They were the two tunes that cropped up last night. Tonight, there could be anything between one, if it's a Genesis track, or maybe 10, if it's Ramones. We shall see. I really don't know. Obviously, that's the nature of the beast. And previously mentioned, we haven't got the parallel universes running Monday to Thursday now, just Thursday night. So tonight we've got a continuation of the A to Z of Punk with Rob Hughes and I from the archive. And also we are playing What's on My Turntable tonight then. And I am going to attempt now to get Rob Hughes mentioned more times than ever before in the first half hour of the programme. Quite right too, brother. Okay, so clue number one. I was born in the same year as Rob Hughes. I was born in the same year as Rob Hughes. Slightly unfair, you would have to say, just because I'm sure he's got a picture of himself in his attic, which is much, much older than he looks. But we'll get to it as we go along. We'll give you, I don't know, four, maybe five clues as we trundle along. This is Jane Weaver.
Do you look at yourself and find nothing? Do you look at yourself and find nothing?
I think it's supposed to end like that, but it is the radio edit. That is Jane Weaver and the Revolution of Supervision, and channeling Prince there somewhat, and a great pop tune, and hopefully loads of people will play it on daytime radio and she'll become even more famous than she is already. I'm Mark Riley, hello there. So let's go to the archive now, the Sorry Kisses and Fanboy. This was the first tune that I heard by Sorry Kisses. As I say, they came in to play for us, and we were talking. I knew Sam from Nine Black Alps, as I say, and met Hayley for the first time, and I asked her, I think it was on air, I'm pretty sure. I said, well, have you got any kind of musical blood in the family? And she said, well, yeah, you might know who my dad is. So I was like, go on. So she said, yeah, he's John Hutchinson. John Hutchinson, also known as Hutch, known by every single David Bowie fan who knows their stuff. And so, yeah, Hutch was a member of The Buzz with David Bowie, 1966 it would have been. And then also he was with him during the Space Oddity era, leading right up to it, helped David Bowie write Space Oddity, in a way, at least, and was also going to be, you know how David Bowie's got two kind of parts, like Ground Control and Major Tom. Well, it was actually the case that it was supposed to be Hutch doing one part of it, and it was supposed to be David Bowie doing the other, so it's supposed to be like a duet, a bit like Simon and Garfunkel. And so, and Hutch also ended up on the Aladdin Sane tour playing acoustic guitar, and I've interviewed him. He's a brilliant, brilliant man, so I want to send out love to all of the Hutchinsons, and of course to Sam, and anybody else who played on the Sorry Kisses session, and this is Fanboy.
Me feel so high. some words to jump in me. We met by a trick of fate. French Navy, my sailor mate.
Been talk of Camera Obscura getting back together again. Oh, please let it be true. That was French Navy. I am Mark Riley, mark.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk if you want to get hold of me. And we are playing What's on My Turntable tonight then. Clue number one, I was born in the same year as Rob Hughes, your actual Rob Hughes. And clue number two, if I was a film, I would be about a revenge-seeking confidence trickster starring that bloke from Outkast. Oh, right, okay, and we play Hey Ya yesterday, didn't we? Didn't we? Jeffrey Lewis Band, The Story of the Mayflower. Take notes.
In the year of 1600, North America had seen 20,000 years of people and just a handful of Europeans. Even in 1607, British Virginia was a flop, barely worth investors' money before they had a tobacco crop. Meanwhile, back in Britain, folks were getting jailed and fined for practicing a religion different from the official kind. These weirdos moved to Holland in 1609, but it was tough there too, and they knew they'd have to go somewhere else sometime. So they talked in 1619 to a London company how the separatists might start a small New England colony. They hired two ships for the voyage, the Mayflower big and the Speedwell small, but the Speedwell had a problem, so the Mayflower had to fit them all. 102 passengers, including kids and wives, some seeking religious freedom, some wanting work and better lives, left England on the Mayflower in September 1620 for that journey where the space was tight and the dangers were so many. Halfway, a main beam fractured, there were awful winds and storms. In the 66-day journey, two folks died and one was born. They reached land in November, too far north in winter weather. They wrote the Mayflower Compact, an agreement to stick together. They called the new place Plymouth, and they planned to make it home. They stole corn from the natives and lived on their boat alone. But wintertime brought sickness to that Mayflower float. When spring arrived, only half of them survived to leave the boat. And these folks we call the Pilgrims built the Plymouth colony, while Captain Jones sailed the Mayflower back to its home across the sea. Where they took the boat apart, it never saw the colony grow. But that became the start of the United States that we now know. So now every November, there's a Thanksgiving holiday where we're supposed to eat foods and remember how the Mayflower came this way. But let's reflect on the 1600s, when North America had seen 20,000 years of people and just a handful of Europeans.
An education always, a Jeffrey Lewis Band and the story of the Mayflower. Coming up, we've got television, What's on My Turntable Tonight, then more from Sorry Kisses and Rush Home Roulette. But first, here's the Six Music News.
Six Music.
This is BBC Radio.
Six Music.
BBC News at 7.30, I'm Adam Porter. People living in Northern Ireland are set to be subject to the toughest coronavirus restrictions in the UK. From Friday, pubs and restaurants will be shut for 4 weeks. Schools will close for an extended half term. Marianne Hood from the Institute of Hospitality in Northern Ireland says it'll be devastating for the sector.
It's probably going to be the final nail in the coffin for the hospitality industry as we know it. We've already seen hundreds of job losses. We're now going to see tens of thousands of job losses. We've faced challenge after challenge, and we've met it.
The Welsh Government is to introduce a ban against people from coronavirus hotspots in the rest of the UK visiting Wales. The Westminster Government has repeatedly refused requests from the Welsh First Minister for travel to be restricted. Boris Johnson has dismissed calls from Labour for a short circuit break lockdown in England as opportunism. Mr Johnson told MPs that tightening restrictions regionally would drive down the virus without the misery of a national lockdown. The Shadow Chancellor, Annalisa Dodds, says tough action now would make the longer term better for everyone.
There will need to be support for businesses, support for jobs. We're saying to government we want to work with them to make sure the support's there so we can have that effective circuit breaker to reset, get test, trace and isolate working, and then have a fighting chance of actually building up business confidence.
The BBC understands that the Joint Biosecurity Centre has suggested that Greater Manchester, alongside most of North East and North West England, as well as large parts of Yorkshire and the Midlands, should be subject to the toughest restrictions. At the moment, the Liverpool City region is the only area to be placed in Tier 3. One of the most important books in literary history, the first collected edition of William Shakespeare's plays, known as the First Folio, has sold at auction in New York for around £6.5 million. It was published in 1623. That's Six Music News. The next update's at 8.30.
BBC Radio 6.
Music. For radio, music and podcasts, get Six Music on the BBC Sounds app.
What I want now,
As I understand it, that is the first solo release by Neil Palmer. Now, Neil has been in session for us on a few occasions, actually. So, with Fire Department, which is his own band, that was a great session. But also in the company of Wild Billy Childish with Spartan Dregs. And lest we forget, you know, Naughty Mark. Well, you know that bit already. But the top jingle, the Punk Before Chips, at 7 o'clock every night, it features two voices. One being Wild Billy Childish, the other being Neil Palmer. And now, so it was the Spartan Dregs who did the Punk Before Chips, and it wasn't Wild Billy Childish and CTMF. And so we need to give him some credit, and not only that, play his first solo record, which is called First Flight of the Sparrow. Hello, Neil. And before that, you heard Television and See No Evil from Marquee Moon. So it was around about 10 days ago, I just actually put Marquee Moon on the turntable, and I filmed it, and I just put a tweet out there just saying this has been my companion since 1977 when it came out, and it is an unbridled masterpiece. And a lot of people were just getting in touch going, yeah, this was just one of those groundbreaking records for me, and other people were saying they came to it late and all that. And then somebody properly dibbed in Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand and FFS and various other projects. And they said, oh yeah, well, have you heard this? Alex from blah, 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 he once wrote a blog about how it wasn't all that kind of thing. So I was like, we can't have this. So I tweeted and put Alex in on it. And then Alex got back and cleared it up, and he said, well, actually, no, I've got the album a couple of times and I do really like it. I just didn't like the way that everybody intellectualised it when he actually got into it, which was probably a little bit later than it came out, because he's a bit younger than me, you know. So yeah, we're all singing from the same hymn sheet, Marquee Moon, an unbridled masterpiece, completely and utterly. I've got two copies, obviously. Okay then, so mark.6music@bbc.co.uk or text me on 64046. I am in the lockdown. I hope you're all looking after yourselves and looking after each other. We are in lockdown. I'm recording this program in the bedroom still. Will be for at least until January. That's what I'm believing at the moment anyway. So we'll just have to see how we go, and just keeping everybody safe, really, amongst other things. It's a pretty involved scenario, as you can probably guess. All right then, so we are playing What's On My Turntable tonight then, and we shall continue to do so between 8 o'clock and 25 past 8 tonight, but that is a full 25 minutes run of Rush Home Roulette. And where it's going to take us, frankly, obviously, we really don't know. We shall see in a short while. But what's on my turntable tonight then? All of the clues given, lest we forget, from the perspective of a record, not the artist involved or artists. So, clue number one, I was born in the same year as Rob Hughes. Clue number two, if I was a film, I would be about a revenge-seeking confidence trickster starring that bloke from Outcast. Right, okay, so I wouldn't have got it from that. So, but they do get a bit easier as they go along, so I will continue to throw them at you. All right then, going to play for you now Jenny O, and What About That Day?
Thank you.
absolutely love that. That is Jenny O, and What About That Day. So she's had a few albums out in her own respect, but also she's worked with other artists as well, singing backing vocals and all kinds of things, Father John Misty, people like that. But we need to get into more different tracks from the album. I played a couple of different ones, but definitely it's an album to look out for. Okay, so I'm going to play for you now Hercules and Love Affair and Blind. Now, this is one of the many tunes, actually, that was introduced to me by my youngest daughter, Beth. And we are two peas in a pod. We really are. Don't feel too sorry for her. She's an amazing lady. But she's got great taste in music. And every now and then she'll just send me a link to something and I will go for it. And this is a tune that's been out for a while, actually. But it was just absolutely new to me. She put it on in the car one day and I went for it and I bought it. And it was just one of those that I've stayed with. And so it came out in 2008. So, I was well behind the door getting into it. But Hercules and Love Affair, a band based in Ghent, by the look of it. But this was a collaboration with Anoni, previously known as Anthony Hegarty. And I think you probably want to dance during it.
Stars
with big thanks to my Beth. That is Hercules and Love Affair and Blind. And so I do remember the first time I ever saw Anoni was a backing singer for Lou Reed. And it was that tour, actually, where Lou Reed had a guy doing taekwondo or some spiritual thing or other behind him, throwing shapes while Lou Reed was going through his back catalogue. So he's like a spiritual Bez, if you like, but it was quite off-putting. But I have to say, for me personally, the highlight of the night would have definitely been when Anoni actually did Candy Says, the Velvet Underground tune. It was just beautiful and breathtaking. And then I went to see Anoni as Anthony and the Johnsons at the University in Manchester. It was a hop and grape, the tiny little room at the top, and it was just around the Mercury Prize and all that kind of stuff. And it was just jaw-dropping, one of the most beautiful gigs I've ever seen in my life. Massive fan of Anoni. Okay, so let's go to the archive now once again. This is the Sorry Kisses and Sunstorms.
BBC Radio Archive Session Track.
Six. Music.
Sorry Kisses from the archive. That was Sunstorms. Just to give you the three clues that we've given you for What's on My Turntable Tonight, then, from the perspective of the album. I was born the same year as Rob Hughes. Clue number two, if I was a film, I would be about a revenge-seeking confidence trickster starring that bloke from Outkast. And then clue number three, I don't like to name drop, but my seventh track was inspired by a chat with a Hollywood film star, although from its title, you'd think it would have been with his sister. Okay, clue number three, I don't like to name drop, but my seventh track was inspired by a chat with a Hollywood film star, although from its title, you would think it would have been with his sister. So interesting, these clues by Perfect Peter Hardy. Oh, look what's coming up.
Six.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
Okay, get out.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
It most certainly is. For better or for worse, we are now engaging in what will probably be a 25-minute version of Rush Home Roulette. It's, if it works well, it was my idea. If it doesn't, Stephen from Brighton is to blame. And once again, just quickly, the clues. I've got 55,000 tunes on here, on this laptop. I run my finger over the tracker pad. Wherever it lands, I have to play. If I don't like it, I will take it off. If it's too long, 25 minutes, unlikely. But anyway, if it's too long, I can fade it. And if it all goes pear-shaped, then I won't be at all surprised. So here we go. This is for the first tune in tonight's elongated Rush Home Roulette. And bang. There we go. Okay, this is Telegram. And it's called Follow. And I really like this. So I've not heard anything from this band. I don't even know if they're still going. But they came and did at least one session for us. And here you go. Follow. Telegram.
We'll be right back.
I knew I really liked that tune, and definitely that is Telegram and Follow. So just Googling them now. Like I say, I got to know the guys a bit anyway. They came and played for us and got on really well. But they were the Guardian New Band of the Day, number 1,614, this being from the October of 2013. So it was just before that that we actually did get them in for a session, as I understand it. Paul Lester wrote that. So it says here, Caerphilly and London, but the band members, Matt Saunders and Matt Wood on guitar, Ollie Paget Moon on bass and Jordan Cook on drums. And great to hear that again. So so far, a success. So Rush Home Roulette continues with me running my finger over the trackpad. Right, okay. Yeah, you can't go wrong with this either. No curveballs really as yet, but this is a John Peel session, actually, and it's the Undertones, and it's the version they did for the BBC of the brilliant Get Over You. Slightly more rough and ready than the single version, but none the worse for that. The Undertones for John Peel, and that was Get Over You. Mark Riley in Rush Home Roulette here, just throwing caution to the wind. But I will give you the fourth clue now for what's on my turntable tonight. Then got to get all five clues in at least. Clue number four. Well, my opening certainly gave Paul Weller a start. Okay, that might give it away a little bit. And clue number four. Well, my opening certainly gave Paul Weller a start. And I'll give you one more clue in a bit, and we'll play a tune from the album before too long. So if you've just joined us, we hand over around about 25 minutes of the programme tonight to Rush Home Roulette, a game of chance led by a chancer. Hello. And so, again, I'm just going to run my tracker pad and see how I go and where I land. And boom. Okay, these are all pretty short, actually, so I'm going to get a load in tonight by the look of it. I spoke too soon, probably. This is Link Ray, the Pathway Sessions, and this is the Green Hornet, which I am presuming, I will try and Google it now, but I'm presuming it's a version of a theme tune for a TV programme. If you look on there, there's also Dick Tracy, Private Eye, and Apache, and the Wild One, so most likely. But anyway, this is Link Ray and Green Hornet. Okay, so you're going to have to forgive me here. Sometimes I just have to fly by the seat of my pants because this is a one-man operation at this stage. Anyway, obviously the team get involved with the programme later on, but it's just me in here with the gear around me, and I've got Dr. Google with me. Other Oogles are available. So I don't know if that was a Green Hornet theme tune, but I'm presuming it was, particularly from the company that it's keeping on the Pathway Sessions album that I have just landed on there for Link Ray. So the Green Hornet is an American action television series that aired on ABC in the 1966-67 television series, starring Van Williams as the Green Hornet and Bruce Lee as Kato. So I've never seen that programme, so when it came out I was 5 or 6. And so if I am wrong, please let me know. It will be a great shock, because if I am wrong, obviously it will be for the first time in my life. Right, okay, I'm going to go in a different direction now, i.e. up rather than down. So if I land on one of the tunes that I've been on before, like the Undertones or something, something really spooky is going on within Russian Roulette. So there we go, I'm off again. Oh, blimey. Okay, so this is a Proper Ornaments, and it's called Sun, and it's from Wooden Head. Hello, Proper Ornaments.
It's silver, well made. The sun's right there. Someone told me the other night. The sun. Yeah.
you have it. Another in the Rush Home Roulette for tonight, The Proper Ornaments and Sun, which is taken from the album Wooden Head. So the band originally, I know, did feature just as almost a session player in a way, Wesley Gonzalez. Hello, Wes. But the band was put together by James Hoare, who was also in Ultimate Painting, and before that, Veronica Fall. So we go back an awful long way with James. But then Max Oskarnold, also of Toy and Pink Flames as well, and they did a few sessions for us. And that's where 1, 2, 3, tune number 4 in Rush Home Roulette landed tonight. Okay, so I'm off again. Wish me luck. I'm going on my travels. Right, okay. This is now Thin Black Sails. These are all so short. This is British Sea Power from the album Valhalla Dancehall. And it's only a minute and 46 seconds long. I'll see you in a bit. Absolutely brilliant. That was British Sea Power and a Thin Black Sails, taken from the album Valhalla Dancehall. The scary thing about this is that that album came out in the January of 2011. That really has that's given me a bit of a start, that actually. A brilliant album, absolutely great, and brilliant to hear that. It's not the kind of tune that you would play. We normally play Who's in Control or We Are Sound from that album, but not on that particular occasion. So, Rush Home Roulette, Mark Riley. And if you want to drop us a line about this or any other part of the programme, mark.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. All these short tunes, I need a rest. So I'm going to give you the last clue now for what's on my turntable tonight then, from the perspective of an album. So clue number 5, how often do I have to tell you? Side 2, track 4 is not about the singer from the Blow Monkeys. That's probably giving it away, but no bad thing really. And we'll get to the album in a short while, looking forward to playing something from that as well. Okay, Rush Home Roulette, maybe for the last time tonight. Let's see how we go. And I'm off. Okay, so we've landed on Winter Sleep, and this is a tune called Search Party from an album called Welcome to the Night Sky. And I don't know this, so into the void once again.
Are you ever gonna come back home? Do you believe that the sky is falling? Are you ever gonna pick up the pieces?
Last tune for tonight's Rogue Rush Home Roulette, the extended version, started at 8 o'clock, just finished now. So that was Winter Sleep and Search Party, taken from the album Welcome to the Night Sky. They came and played for us at least once in 2013. They're from Halifax in Nova Scotia, not the one over there. And they did feature at one point in time Mike Bigelow, who was also in Holy F. So there you go, tonight's Rush Home Roulette. One, Telegram, follow. 2, Undertones, Get Over You, Peel version. 3, Link Ray, The Green Hornet. 4, Proper Ornaments, Sun. And then you've got British Sea Power, track number 5, Thin Black Sails, followed by Winter Sleep and Search Party. So, happy with that. I always like when some really, really random rogue thing gets thrown in there, like Slim Whitman. But, you can't engineer it. That's the whole point, eh? All right, so what's on my turntable tonight, then, from the perspective of an album? I was born in the same year as Rob Hughes. Get this, 1966. He doesn't look a day over 21, Bob. Clue number 2, if I was a film, I would be about a revenge-seeking confidence trickster starring that bloke out of Outcast, and that is the plot of Guy Ritchie's 2005 film Revolver. So there you go, that gives it you. Clue number 3, I don't like to name drop, but my 7th track was inspired by a chat with a Hollywood film star, although from its title you'd think it would have been about his sister. She said was inspired by a conversation that John Lennon had with film star Peter Fonda, brother of Jane, who told Lennon, "I know what it's like to be dead. And clue number 4, my opening certainly gave Paul Weller a start, so the album opener is Taxman. Start, The Jam, you know where we're coming from. And clue number 5, how often do I have to tell you, side 2, track 4, is not about the singer from the Blow Monkeys, which would be Dr. Robert. So we decided we were either going to go for Dr. Robert or Taxman. So
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be.
The Beatles and Taxman, which was, centre point for tonight's What's On My Turntable Tonight then, the answer being Revolver. To take us up to the news, we've got Bob Mould now and American Crisis, just to let you know that tomorrow night, Bob Mould will be featuring in our Manic Q&A. Mould and American Crisis. Coming up, we've got the continuing A to Z of punk with myself and Rob Hughes from the archive. But first, here's the Six Music News.
Six Music.
This is BBC Radio.
Six Music.
BBC News at 8.30. I'm Adam Porter. Schools in Northern Ireland will shut for 2 weeks from Monday as part of new measures aimed at curbing the spread of coronavirus. Hospitality businesses will be limited to takeaway and delivery services for 4 weeks from Friday, and hairdressers and beauticians will be closed. People from areas of England, Northern Ireland and Scotland with high rates of COVID-19 are to be banned from visiting Wales from Friday evening. The First Minister, Mark Drakeford, has said those travelling for work will be exempt. He says it's an issue of fairness, as similar local restrictions are already in place in Wales.
I live in Cardiff. I cannot travel to Tenby in southwest Wales because I would be travelling from a high incidence area in Wales to a low incidence area. Yet somebody in Liverpool, where the incidence is far, far higher than in Cardiff, could still make that journey.
The BBC understands that government scientists are recommending that large areas of Northern England and parts of the Midlands should join Liverpool in the toughest category of coronavirus restrictions. No final decision has been made. Greater Manchester's Mayor Andy Burnham has threatened legal action if the measure is imposed. But Paul Butcher, who runs a pub in Preston, just wants certainty.
If we go to Tier 3 and we close, then I think we'll just all accept it. At least we'll know where we are. To get on top of this, to stop the virus, to sort this out once and for all, to stop being the fourth worst affected country in the world and the fifth richest, just make a decision.
France has decided to impose a curfew in Paris and eight other cities from Saturday. It'll be in force from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. for 6 weeks to limit social contacts that help spread the coronavirus. Police investigating a crash near Oxford on Monday in which a mother and three young children died have said the two people who were seriously injured in the collision are showing signs of improvement. Officers say the 30-year-old man and 18-month-old girl are expected to recover. That's 6 Music News. The next update's at 9.30.
BBC Radio.
6 Music.
Download and subscribe to your favourite 6 Music shows
on the BBC Sounds app.
6 Music.
What you're about to hear is the A to Z of Punk, presented by myself and Rob Hughes, which began in the May of 2017. And as a result, some things may have changed in the interim, and some of the main players are sadly no longer with us. Despite that, we hope you enjoy it.
Rob Hughes's A to Z of Punk and New Wave. This week,
what are we looking at then, Bobby?
We're looking at F, aren't we, Mark?
And what does it stand for, Bobby?
Falling out.
Falling out.
Two swans in front of his eyes, coloured balls in front of his eyes. It's number one for his Kelly's eye, treble six right over his eye. A big shot's voice in his ears, worlds of silence in his ears. All the numbers account for years, checks the cards through eyes of tears. Bingo Masters break out! Bingo Masters break out! Bingo Masters break out! All he sees is a back of chairs, in the mirror a lack of hairs. A like round which he fills out, hear the players all shout. Bingo Masters break out! Bingo Masters break out! Bingo Masters break out! A glass of lager in his hand, silver microphone in his hand. Wasting time in numbers and rhyme, 100 blank faces by. Bingo Masters break out! Bingo Masters break out! Bingo Masters break out! And came the time he flipped his lid, came the time he flipped his lid. Holiday in Spain fell through, players put it down to Bingo Masters. hall full of cards left unfilled. Ended his life with wine and pills. There's a grave somewhere only partly filled. A sign in a graveyard on a hill reads, Bingo Masters Break Out!
So a listener did request that quite recently, actually, so eventually we shall get there. That was The Fall and Bingo Masters Breakout from The Bingo Masters Breakout. And yes, we most definitely are in the Punk A to Z with Rob Hughes, and we're looking at the letter F because it's alphabetical.
Hey, we've got there, haven't we?
We know where we're going. Okay, so this is an gnarly one to start with.
It is. Well, far be it from me to lead a discussion on the format. It's such a big part of your life from 78 to early 83.
Yes.
But, you know, here we go. I mean, the origins are interesting, aren't they? It's formed in 76. We will get to the turnaround of membership, which is, you know,
inevitable.
Famous, isn't it? I think it's 66 at last count, isn't
and
it?
And fallen out, which is what we were looking at, just the irony of it. But yeah, so they went to see the Sex Pistols, so it was Martin Brahmer and Mark Smith went to see the Sex Pistols at the Leicester Free Trade Hall, didn't they? I'll probably get some of this wrong, which is a great irony. They performed in Prestwich, which is where the band had been based from most of the time anyway, and Bingo Masters EP was actually funded by Richard Boone.
It was, of New Hormones.
Of New Hormones, yeah, and so they made some money out of Spiral Scratch and put some money into The Fall doing some recording, but it obviously didn't come out on the New Hormones label. It came out on Step Forward, which is Miles Copeland's label. Okay, so you take it away for a bit.
Well,
then,
you know, the kind of the influence that go into The Fall, and again, you probably know more than me, but you know, from what I gather, I mean, as well as kind of a very literally influences Albert Camus' novel, of course, The Fall, which is and they were going to be called The Outsiders, weren't they, initially, which is another Camus novel.
It's a bit Spinal Tap, but they're called The Outsiders, so the another band were called The Outsiders, so they changed the name to the follow-up, the subsequent novel, which was The Fall. And Tony Friel, it mustn't be understated this, that Tony Friel came up with the names, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, that's what I gather, as well.
And he wrote a lot of the songs early on, as well, and was a hugely important part of The Fall. When I used to go and see The Fall, he was so great, and, you know, and the early songs, like I say, like Bingo Masters, and a lot of those songs around that time, he did write.
Yeah.
And he was a great bass player. And there was a guy called Johnny Brown who was on drums as well. Mm. It was just a flash in the pan, really. No offence, Johnny. I never met the guy. But
wasn't there a drummer who lasted for the first gig? Was that one of those myths? We're not getting into this.
It's a little bit gnarly because you've loads of different people who spent a little bit of time knocking about. And of course, I mean, it's worth mentioning the fact that, as legend would have it, Mark Smith was supposed to be the guitarist and Martin Brahmer was supposed to be the vocalist. Again, is stuff I'm hearing as I went along at the time. Mark was listening to Black Sabbath and the Groundhogs and the Seeds and all that. And I know that Martin was hugely influenced by television and Lou Reed.
Right, okay. I mean, there's Cannon there as well, Stooges, Van de Graaff, of course, which often gets bandied about.
Yep.
I believe, was in, and John Cale, of course, VU and the rest. And the sort of garage rock stuff from that fetched up on the Nuggets compilation, that kind of stuff, as well as, you know, the Monks, but also the Seeds, those kind of bands. He's really such a gnarly, great psych punks band.
Definitely. And do you know, I never really got to the bottom of it, but Tony Friel left and a guy called Eric Ferret joined the band, who'd worked with previously the Ferrets, who backed John Cooper Clarke.
Okay, right.
So it is a complicated thesis one, isn't it?
It is a complicated story. I mean, the first gig was at the Northwest Arts Basement, I believe, and then they played the very final night of the Electric Circus. I mean, you were there, were you, when the Electric Circus closed down in October 77?
Yes, I was. I only went to the Electric Circus twice, and that was on both of the last nights.
Right, okay.
Which were released on the Short Circuit 10-inch, the blue vinyl on Virgin.
Yeah.
And Last Orders was on there by The Fall.
Okay. So the October 77, it was the Buzzcocks, The Worst, and The Fall, wasn't it? Sort of closed it down initially.
Yeah, John the Postman played as well, and Steel Pulse, and The Drones, loads and loads of bands, as you probably would imagine, you know? But that was so, I mean, with Tony, that was the start of a big kind of revolving door policy. That's is what we were putting it out, to be polite, weren't
call
we?
It a and of course, there is a famous quote from Mark Smith, isn't there? You know, if it's me and your granny on bongos, it's still The Fall. So, you know, you have this one central member, the central core, everybody else sort of revolving around it. As I say, there is, last count, about 66 members, I believe, and there is the book, Dave Simpson's book, The Fallen, which goes about trying to, unenviable task of tracking down each ex-member of The Fall.
Yeah, started out as a Guardian article, and then he thought, there's more in this, and so he did it. So, you know, it is inarguable that if it's Mark Smith and your granny on bongos, it is The Fall, because it is his creature, without any shred of a doubt. Mm. But Steve Hanley, I mean, there are lots of component parts within here, and I was a massive fan of Martin Brahmer's work, and Carl, an amazing drummer. But Steve was in there for, I think, probably 19 years, and I think every single Fall fan would put Mark Smith at the top, and then Steve behind, yeah, just behind him, you know, because they've been so important for the band.
Absolutely. And of course, not forgetting Steve's book, which is a great read. Yeah. Big Midweek.
It's the just, Big Midweek. It tells you everything that went on, well, not everything, probably, but everything that you can get away with. But, I mean, do you know, for the way that Smithy operates, he's always been a little bit off kilter and a little bit out of sync with everybody else around him.
Okay.
You know, I mean, and that's why his work is, I think, so remarkable.
Yeah.
But the people that he chose to work with as well, he got Lee Bowery, the performance artist.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, and Michael Clark. So how many bands, you won't get the Lurkers doing, you know, I'm Curious Around You or whatever with Michael Clark, you know.
Yeah, experimental ballet and dance and the rest of it. It just wouldn't happen, would it? But I'd love that kind of art house sense of it as well, that sensibility about The Fall. It's terrific. What's interesting is the lineup at the moment is the longest serving one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which has been going for about 11 years now.
That's right, so which is quite incredible. They've got a new record coming out. Yeah. They've been doing gigs, you know. I mean, they played with Swans just round the corner, the Transformer Bash, not so long ago. I think they played Leeds as well. Right. And I know Mark's been a bit poorly of late, and I hope he's all right, you know.
Okay.
So obviously, and from the component parts of The Fall, the early lineups, you've got Steve Hanley and Paul Hanley, and Bricks, all in the Extricated now.
Yeah, of course.
With Steve Trafford as well, who was in the Fallheads role.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all still moving along nicely.
It is. All these moving parts in different directions and a legacy that just continues to grow, doesn't it? I mean, the Bricks and the Extricated stuff is really coming along. I can't wait to see all that kind of really coming out now.
Yeah.
The album. But, you know, it's there. And they continue to be hugely influential, not just in this country, but especially in the States. A lot of musicians swear by The Fall. It's always The Fall that crops up in these bands that are really important to them.
It is weird. I mean, you know, I was talking to John Dwyer and lots of bands who've come through here, The Fall are like a real kind of touchstone for them. You know, there's no getting away from it at all. Really hugely influential.
Certainly. Didn't last as long, but... certainly important. Fire Engines, further north from Edinburgh, part of that whole sort of Scottish sort of micro scene of late 70s, early 80s with Joseph K, The Scars, Orange Juice, The Associates, Aztec Camera, if you like, just coming through. I'd say formed sort of 79, 80. Notorious for playing very, very short gigs, weren't they?
Fire I spoke Engines. To Davey today. I called him and he was really, really generous. And he told me some stuff which we're going to use later on in this section as well. But he was saying, I saw them and they opened for The Fall at the Playhouse in Edinburgh. And I saw them on many occasions. And they did do 15-minute sets, which, of course, you would like to think that maybe the Jesus and Mary chain took note of that.
Yeah.
But he said that as their back catalogue grew, they ended up compromising and doing two 15-minute sets, which is just brilliant. And Davey Henderson is one of my favourite people. He's absolutely irrepressible. He's an amazing guy. But they were called Literary Art Punk. So you're already onto a winner. And they were named after the 13th Floor Elevator song.
They were. And, you know, like The Fall, you know, Beefheart went into the mix, didn't it? And James Chance, Voidoids, people like that.
Mm.
This kind of chaotic, if you ever... Sadly, I never went to an early Fire Engine show, but this sort of chaotic sense, is anything going to happen? You know, just... things going off in all kinds of directions.
They were discordant and Russell playing drums never used a hi-hat or cymbals. He just had, you know, all these like little rules that they followed and made some of the greatest records. We're going to hear one of them now. They were courted by Postcard.
They were. Alan Horn was really keen on them, weren't they? But it was a toss-up between him and also Bob Last. Fast Records, which we will get onto.
Which we'll get onto later. But it is strange. I mean, The Big Gold Dream is an amazing documentary. I will lend you my copy of it, Bob. No
please.
Bother. But it was in that actual documentary, and Davey reiterated it today. He said it was New Year's Eve 1981, and Bob Last offered him a deal he should have refused.
Really?
Now, I know that Davey regrets this to this day.
Right.
Because Bob Last, and it's interesting because it does pop up again, this in the fallen out kind of motif that we're running through here. But he asked him to drop the Fire Engines, Davey, and to go on to form like a world-beating pop band, which was to be Wynn, who were incredible.
They were incredible. I mean,
just an amazing band. So, you know, but it was the wrong thing for Davey to do, it seems, even in his own mind, you know.
Okay.
And so now, of course, you've had the Fire Engines. They did reform.
Yeah.
And they did played with the Magic Band.
Well, that was a great thing. That was 2004, wasn't it? They played the Liquid Rooms in Edinburgh, and they played 25 minutes, I believe. And Davey did say, look, you know, we've grown older now. We'd just like to play a bit longer.
Right.
Fair enough.
Well, what a compromise, 25 minutes. And they did a session for us, a reformed Fire Engine, which was a huge, huge honour. And then since then, of course, we've got Wynn and also Nectarine No. 9, and these days, Sexual Objects.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And so, an amazing band. And should we play Candy Skin?
Let's have it, shall we?
Yeah. my favourite records, Fire Engines and Candy Skin. And whilst we're talking about sexual objects, the Marshmello album, I'm waiting for a copy of it in the post off Davey. So and we're playing Sometimes, which is a single off it. And there's a remix as well that we're going to get to grips with. But anyway, Rob Hughes's A to Z of Punk and New Wave.
Well, F can only be fanzines, can't he? Which was a phenomenon sort of peculiar to punk in that this sort of DIY ethos encouraged people to just go out there and make your own thing.
That's right, absolutely. I mean, and everybody looks at sniffing glue, don't
they? Yeah, of course. You know, it was great, though, and there was an ethos behind all that one. So, Mark Perry started sniffing glue within days of seeing the Ramones at the Roundhouse in July 76. And that was the thing, wasn't it? And he took, obviously, the sniffing glue from a Ramones tune. And then it's him in his bedroom with a felt tip pen and an old typewriter, a children's typewriter, I believe, and he just started doing it. So the grammar was terrible, loads of swearing in it. It looked sloppy, it was haphazard the way it looked, but this is, I say, just captured the whole thing. He realised, you know, there was the enemy out there, there was sounds, record mirror, melody maker, but who was sort of catering for the general rock press, but nothing was really specialising in punk, and he wanted to be the first to get in there.
And I think even some of the journalists at the time embraced it and saw it as something fresh and, you know, away from the norm, a part and parcel of the whole punk spirit, for want of a better phrase.
And I know when you had Reckless Eric in session a few weeks ago, he says he remembers going into a shop, it might have been in Camden at the time, and seeing this thing, sniffing glue, just, you know, with the other magazines, think, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But he had to buy it because it just, it stood out, you know, it was something different, it was unusual.
Well, it started off with a run of 50 copies.
Yeah.
And ended up selling 15,000 copies.
You know, it's just his girlfriend was copying them at work, wasn't she?
Yeah. Fantastic. Absolutely, mate. And so it was a Bible of the punk movement.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the ethos, don't be satisfied with what we write, go out, start your own fanzine. Yeah, that's how it worked. And it lasted for, what, a year from the summer of 76 onwards?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great thing as well, because we talked about this before, but Mark Perry, Mark P, ATV, a wonderful band, but he did say that punk died the day that the Clash signed to CBS.
That's right.
Presumably, it was roughly around the same time that they thought, right, OK, well, that's punk's gone now, so Sniffing Glue's got to go.
Yeah, and we mustn't forget as well, Danny Baker started off on there, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Dennis Morris, who's known as Matt Dennis, the photographer, used to do the snaps for it too. There were other things, less well-known, like Sideburns magazine, which was would show you like a diagram of a guitar chord and saying, this is a chord, here's another, go and start your own band.
Well, that sounds like just a lot to me, that. Yeah.
John Savage had one called London's Outrage, which was inspired by a Sex Pistols flyer. And in the States, of stuff like punk, which came before, you know,
Slash on the West Coast.
Search and Destroy, all that kind of stuff. I mean, staying in the States, Danny Fields is a real sort of progenitor, isn't he? A really key figure in punk, because this is a guy who had myriad careers, but, you know, he's known primarily for encouraging Elektra to sign the MC5 and then the Stooges, looking after the Doors.
We're going to look at influences under I in the alphabet, aren't we? So we can't go too deep into all of that, but you're dead right, mate. So he had the chops to go out to Detroit, which was a pretty gnarly place at the time, find the two gnarliest bands. So you had the MC5 and their younger brothers, as they would call them, the Stooges.
Yeah.
And take them to Elektra, you know, and off the back of a lot of folk music and the Doors, who were pretty safe, really.
Well, the thing was Elektra, obviously, growing up, it was a fairly kind of staid label. Then it got more adventurous as the 60s wore on. But he was known as like the freak on the label. So anything slightly out there, Danny was your man. So he'd do this. And people trusted him, put their trust in him. And before that, he'd been a founder of teen magazines in the States, including Datebook, which was notorious for being the one that published a John Lennon interview about the Beatles being bigger than Jesus. So he affected the culture from that distance.
That is strange. I mean, you look at somebody so influential as Danny Fields and you wonder how he would look back at that incident with it being so pivotal and so world famous. So you wonder if he's like kind of proud of it because of the mischief that it caused, or whether he thinks, God, I wish I'd not done that.
Essentially, it might have had something to do with the Beatles stopping touring. Yeah, because it appeared in the London Evening Standard first and nobody even noticed it, did they, that quote? That's how it came
about.
It was
a witch hunt, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the end. His other great claim to fame is, of course, in 1975, went down to CBGB's, saw the Ramones and thought, I like this band, and encouraged them to get signed to Sire. Looked after them, managed them for the first three sort of real seminal albums, and that was it. And there is a documentary that came out about 2 years ago now, Danny Says, named after the Ramones tune, which is just all about his life. And Andy Warhol famously wanted to make a film about Danny Fields' life and never got around to it.
Well, Danny Fields is the link between 1972 and 1976, and it's 1975 when he saw the Ramones playing at CBGB. So should we have the Ramones?
Let's have them.
Do it. We'll be right back. Right, we all know that tune, and there is still another 57 seconds of it, but we're going to move on, because we've got lots to get in, haven't we, Bob, in the A to Z of punk.
Yeah, we've got to have Factory Records, of course. How could we not? And we can't skim over it either.
It's no, absolutely.
Close to our hearts. Of course, started in the early years, early part of 1978. Sort of, was it true that it's kind of based, modelled sort of on Rabid Records, which Martin Hannett co-owned with Tosh Ryan and had Slaughter of the Dogs on and John Cooper Clarke and various people, that was sort of an early model. Tony Wilson thought, yeah, we could go...
Well, it was Tosh Ryan and he was doing the business, you know, and I mean, there were lots of bands who weren't being touched at that particular point in time, but it also came out of the fact that there was a Factory Records, but before that you had the Factory... Nightclub.
Yeah, started as a nightclub first.
Which was the Russell Club or the PSV Club, the Public Service Vehicles Club in Hume. And I saw Iggy there and the Cramps, and, you know, we played there an awful lot. But the component parts of this, particularly at the beginning, were Tony Wilson and Alan Erasmus.
Yeah.
And so Alan Erasmus was an actor who put some money into doing it with Tony Wilson, who, for those who don't know, was a local news presenter.
That's right,
at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he presented So It Goes as well, the sort of rock show. And also, it started in Alan Erasmus's flat on Palatine Road, which is in Didsbury, not far from here. So that was where the whole operation, that was a hub to begin with, wasn't it, a factory?
Yes, and they robbed Martin Hannett, Martin Zero, who'd worked with Buzzcocks as well, but had worked with Tosh Ryan at the label, as you say, Rabid.
Yeah.
Rob Gretton, so Slaughter the Dogs were part of Rabid Records. I think it's probably where the name came from. Rob Gretton was the tour manager for Slaughter and the Dogs.
Right.
So there's another big component part of the story. And then Peter Saville came in. And that is the whole. You've got the whole kit and caboodle. Yeah. I will be leaving some people out, but you know, really crucially. And the first factory catalogue number, in fact, one, it was a poster for a gig, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right, it was, wasn't it?
But then, Factory 2.
Is that Factory Sample, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Two? Okay. And then various things happen. And then some of the fact numbers are very, very strange. We might get to in a second. But you get to 10, and then it's Unknown Pleasures, isn't it?
Which is where it starts to get really serious. I mean, you've got, like, Fact 9 is the film, No City Film, which is the local fanzine. Fact 8 was Linda Sterling, Factory Egg Timer, which is a concept for menstrual abacus.
I love that.
Which never got made. It was just a design for it, wasn't it? And Joy Division. Warsaw, then Joy Division.
Yeah.
You know, that was what kind of sealed it all, really.
Yeah, suddenly, you know, they're all over the enemy. John Peel picked up on them as well. And Tony Wilson really credited that moment. He said that's when it turned into a true business, you know. And it carried on. We've got the Hacienda as well. And
when you say it's a true business, that's arguable, because they were known to be notoriously bad at business, weren't they?
Yeah, losing money hand over fist. I mean, even when Blue Monday... came out by New Order, you know, that was huge. It sold so many copies, but it was so expensive to make that they lost money on each.
Yeah, and the deals always favoured the bands. Tony signed the contract with Joy Division in his own blood, and it took till Happy Mondays to come along to kind of get them going again.
Yeah.
And then it was ironically a Happy Mondays who kind of helped bankrupt them, really, in a way. Yes, please, wasn't
they
it?
Did. They went to Bahamas and did all that stuff. Just very, very briefly, just some of the kind of fat catalogue numbers. One of them was the Hacienda's Cat. Mm. Another one was a lawsuit taken out by Martin Hannett.
Yeah. And appropriately, we're going to look quickly at Fast Products.
We are.
Whose one of their catalogue numbers was Factory Records, because they thought that they'd ripped off such an amount of their work.
Well, I understand that Bob Last thought that he was an influence on Factory. Let's put it that way. Perhaps it was in there, certainly.
Yeah, most certainly.
And Fast released early releases by the Mekons and the Human League and Gang of Four and people like this, just one-offs, and then he started Pop Oral. Along with Hillary Morrison, of course. It was the two of them doing this. And it was seen, a bit like New Hormones, as this sort of artistic sort of expedition where you just take charge of all the releases. Handmade releases, pieces of works of art, each one sort of unique to the artist.
And Davey Henderson did say to me that Bob Last was the real deal. He was a proper... He said that when the Human League signed to Virgin, he used to go into Virgin with a really sharp suit on just to wind the hippies up. This is what he said, you know. So there was a lot of mischief involved, and they had loads of great bands, not least the Scars. We're going to go to that. We're not going to get all of this in either. Sorry. But this is Scars. Thank you very much to you, Bobbert, and also to Madonnatron and everyone involved in the programme tonight. And we'll leave you with 2 minutes of She's Alive and Giddy's Next. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Still
This is a public service announcement. What you just heard is a repeat of our A to Z of Punk, first broadcast in the May of 2017. Thank you.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
6 Music.
Right now, it's Gideon Co.
Spunky onions, boy. Monkey onions, boys.